will say one other thing on the efforts that has been made for our disaster relief supplies and such. If you know of a particular need, and maybe we've not known about something or have overlooked something, please let us know. You can talk to me about it, but you can talk to your deacons about it as well, and prefer you talk to them, actually, first. But let somebody know if there's something that's been overlooked in some way. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I do have about three verses of Scripture in mind from this chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I am thinking about our mothers this morning, pretty much. A few weeks ago, we started, we spent some time talking about fathers and husbands, and I don't remember, maybe it was a Sunday and maybe a couple of Sundays and maybe a Sunday and a Wednesday, I don't remember for sure, but we started spending some time along that line, and that's kind of the direction I had been going, thinking about family in general, and of course some other things took place and shifted our focus a little bit, but I'd like to go back that direction this morning at least. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and let's read verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Verse 10. Speaking of the widows that are to be taken care of by the church. It says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. I want us to think for just a few minutes, at least to begin with, about the description we have here of the widows. The widows. And widows who have been blessed to have children, but yet the description still applies even with those who have not had children. And Paul is describing to Timothy, he's instructing Timothy in this area as to how the church is to deal with that. How the church is supposed to take care of the widows. The responsibility that the church has. Now, you see that all the way back to the beginning, the early days of the church, in Acts chapter 6, I believe it was. You remember? The need for deacons, in fact, began originally because there were widows, a certain group of widows, being neglected when it came to the daily ministry, ministering on a daily basis to the needs of those widows. There was a group of them being neglected. And so the job became too large for the apostles to handle and for them to continue their focus on prayer and ministry of the word. They called the church together. They said, select out seven men from among you, seven men of honest report and many other good qualities. And they set him aside to handle that business, that daily ministration of the widows. So it is a function, if you will, of the church. It is responsibility of the church to some degree and whatever ability that we have to take care of widows. Now, what I'm thinking, and I'm going maybe backwards, and I do that a lot of times, it seems, going in reverse direction. A widow described in this manner, how did she get there? How did she get there? If you think about a widow who says in verse 5, trusts in God. Okay? She continues in supplications and prayers night and day. How did she get there? How did she get to that point that her trust, and not just talking about faith necessarily, this is trust is a result of putting your faith into action, and that being your faith in God, first and foremost, and then God acting in your life and working in your life, and it involves continuing in prayer and God answering those prayers, and in a, hopefully a short period of time, you begin to build a trust in the Lord. Because you've seen and experienced for yourself how God answers prayers and how He takes care of you. That's what the widow has done that we're looking at, we're considering here. Described as trusting in God and continuing in supplications and prayers night and day. It's her manner of life. Her manner of life is trusting in God and praying to Him day and night. She has been well known, it says in verse 10, for good works also. This woman has, who is now a widow. She's been known for good works. And some of those good works includes bringing up children. It includes washing the saints' feet. It includes relieving the afflicted. And then it just kind of sums it all up and says, if she had diligently followed every good work. So here's the widow now that we're thinking about. She trusts in God. She prays continually to the Lord. And her life has been a life of good works. Okay? But how did all that come about? How did she get there? Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 31. It's a very familiar passage, and I guess one that's probably being used all over the place this morning. I don't know. May not be, but it's a good place. Proverbs chapter 31. And I want us to think about, first of all, how the widow that we have before us, how she got there, where she's been, what she's been doing, where did it all start? And I want to go all the way back, if we can, to you young ladies in the congregation this morning, you mothers raising young ladies, ultimately all of us, we all have a mother. Some of us don't have our mothers with us anymore. Some of us, men and women alike, especially parents, we do have some influence on those, especially, we should anyway, in the body of Christ that we are in here. Within the congregation, we have opportunities every once in a while to set the example or to instruct, to teach. We all have that opportunity. So let's all think together about this widow. And hopefully we'll see her at a younger age before we get through, okay? But let's go to Proverbs 31, verse 10, very familiar verse. Says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman. A woman who not only her manner of life is characterized by there's a pureness about her. There's a degree of holiness about her. There's a spirituality about her. But this virtuous woman, this virtue really has to do more with courage. Courage to be able to do what she is called on to do as a woman. Now we're going to see a few verses here in chapter 31 that specifically we're looking at a woman who is a wife and who is a mother. But the characteristics, the qualities that this woman has should be the characteristics and qualities of every woman. regardless of their marital status, regardless if they have children or not. Young men, here's what you need to be looking for in a young lady as a prospect for a wife. Now, maybe I shouldn't put it that way, prospect, you know, but you know what I'm saying. This is what you should be looking for. Characteristics and qualities like this. This virtuous woman, well, at a young age, she still has a lot of growing to do, no doubt. But you see the foundation laid. These characteristics, these qualities. There will be a virtuous woman. And her price is far above rubies. She's a valuable thing. She's a precious thing. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. It's an old-fashioned way of thinking, I know. But did you know that the husband is supposed to provide for the family? I know that's old-fashioned. People say it's out of date. I've shared with you many times what an amazing book the book of Proverbs is. The wisdom that it contains. And you see it throughout. In a book that was written some 3,000 years ago, contains such great wisdom that still applies to us today. So is this portion of the end of chapter 31, the end of the book, is it any different? Has it become out of date? I say it has not. It is still the responsibility of the husbands and fathers to provide. It is the responsibility of the wife, the woman, to manage what the husband provides. You see, marriage is a beautiful thing. The woman has her responsibilities. I didn't say the woman has her place. I don't like that terminology, and you don't either. A woman has her responsibilities, but a husband has his responsibilities. And a husband is responsible, listen to what he said, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, trusting in her that what he has provided, she will take good care of, manage it wisely, so that he shall have no need of spoil, so that he doesn't have to go out and try to get more and perhaps try to obtain more maybe by not the right means, or feel like that he must obtain more and sacrifice something else in order to bring more home because the wife is not managing it wisely, you see. That's what this verse is talking about. This virtuous woman, her husband safely trusts in her. And he shall have no need to go out and fight the fight some more and bring home some more spoil because what he is bringing home, she's managing wisely. Does that make sense? Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Here's a woman now, a virtuous woman who obviously is married. She's a wife, and we're going to see that she's also a mother. This is the widow years ago. Okay? Think about it now. This is the widow years ago. The widow that's described is one who trusts in God. Do you think that a wife and a mother needs to begin to trust in God at an early age? Certainly she does, even before marriage. This virtuous woman, because she has such great responsibilities, is beginning to trust in the Lord. She's beginning to, if you will, if she hadn't already, she's beginning to strengthen her prayer life. Give you wives an opportunity to say amen. With some of us husbands, you need a strong prayer life. Right? Amen. Some of you, amen. With some of us, you need a strong prayer life, and you need to trust. You need a strong trust and confidence in the Lord. I mean, look what you got to put up with. You know. But here's the trust begins at an early age. The widow is one who trusts in God, who prays continually, and she's been known for good works. And some of those good works are raising children, ministering to others. This widow over here, she has the reputation of being a servant. She's not only raised children, but she's ministered to the saints. She has washed the saints' feet. She has been diligent in every good work. Okay? Well, what are some of those? Well, we see some more. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. This is kind of old-fashioned, too. The woman, the wife, the mother, who is at home, is not just a housewife. She is a homemaker. She is a keeper at home. And we'll see that again in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in just a minute. You know why it's such a difficult thing? You know why it's so hard on wives and mothers? Because their life is a life of sacrifice. Their life is a life of sacrifice. You do without for the sake of your husband. You do. You do without for the sake of your children. It's a life of sacrifice. Now, not really any different from the life of the Christian anyway. The Christian life should be marked by sacrifice, should be characterized by sacrifice. But it is especially so, or in a unique way, for mothers and wives. Again, young men, there's prospects on the horizon, okay. There's certain characteristics that pretty soon the choices begin to narrow down. They ought to. You ought to be pretty choosy. Now, young women, you ought to be very choosy. You ought to be very choosy. Don't lower your standards. Young men, you're looking for someone who has the foundation laid that will someday be if not already, she is becoming a virtuous woman. One who understands what God's Word says about her responsibilities in the marriage, and she has the courage, regardless of what the world around us, regardless of what her friends say, is willing to do as God has ordered things. The structure that He has outlined. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night. How many of you older moms, especially your children are gone now, how many of you can you look back and how many times, and you that still have children in the home, especially when they were young, how many times have you arisen in the night? And of course your husband just goes right on snoring. But she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's taking care of the household. She's managing the household. Don't you imagine that takes a great deal of faith and trust in God and praying to Him? That's why the widow is cast, why her manner of life is characterized this way. It started way back here. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She's ready at any moment to minister, to serve, to take care of. Jump down to verse 20. I want three more verses here. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. You remember now what we read over there? This character, this manner of life of the widow, it's been characterized by good works. Not only bringing up children, but ministering to those in need, washing the saints' feet, diligent in every good work. And here are some of them. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Not only the responsibility to care for her household, to care for her children. Here's some more sacrifice that she makes for the sake of the needy, the poor. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She has been diligent. She's been diligent in taking care of her household, and now she has the opportunity to minister to the poor and the needy. But, listen to verse 22, she maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She has done for herself. And she has done for herself. And when I read that verse, verse 22, let's read it again. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. I really get the idea that what she has been, she has been given from her husband to manage and to take care of and to work with, to manage the home, she has done that, and she has done a little portion for herself. That's good. That's right. It's not a total sacrifice of absolutely laying your life down to the death, women. There is that place. It's not up here at the top of the priority list to take care of yourself, but it is on the list. You understand? You see what I'm saying? It is on the list. And who doesn't like to see a beautiful woman? Right? Who does not like to see a beautiful woman? And I say that with as much purity as I can, not purity, but you understand what I'm saying. Everybody, well, let's think about that for just a minute. It is true. Everybody likes to see a beautiful woman. I think the female is the most beautiful of all of God's creations. And I say that not in a sensual way. But some like to look upon a beautiful woman in that way. And that's wrong. Right? That's sin. A man might like to look upon a beautiful woman in a lustful way. That's sin. Sadly, forgive me if this hurts your ears, there are women that like to look upon a beautiful woman in a sensual way. That's sin. That's sin. Just as it is sin for a man to look upon a woman in a sensual way. And it's no less sin for a man to look upon a man in that way. But it is a beautiful thing to look upon a woman in the right way. In the right way. A virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Let's get one more verse in 1 Timothy 5. Keep your finger there, or you don't have to turn. But one more verse out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it is verse 14. 14. We have these characteristics of a widow. She trusts in God. She prays to Him, continues in supplications and prayers night and day. You know why the widow, and why the woman at an early age needs to begin to develop this? Because it may very well be a day in her future that her husband is gone. She either had no children or her children maybe are gone. And she is totally dependent upon the Lord. And that's why Paul is instructing Timothy and then consequently the church on how to take care of those widows who are widows indeed. In other words, widows indeed who have no other means to be cared for. And so here's this widow who all of these years have been developing this trust and confidence in the Lord, praying to Him, continuing diligently in good works and whatever that might be in her life, whether it was raising children or not, but it was a life of sacrifice and ministering to others. And now he says in verse 14, so he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Here's another old-fashioned thought for you. Parents with young women, and there's a few of us here, what do we want most of all, more than anything else, for our daughters? What do we want more than anything else for our daughters? You know, we all say, I guess as parents, we want our children to have it better than we do. I do in some ways. That'd be nice. But that's not my first priority. That's not my first responsibility, to make sure that my children have it better than I did. That's not my responsibility. Children, you don't like that, do you? It's not our responsibility as parents to make sure our children have it better than we did. It is our responsibility, first and foremost, to raise godly young men and godly young women, to prepare them to become godly young men and godly young women. That's our first primary. That's our first responsibility. Now here's the old-fashioned thought for you. Paul says, I will therefore that the young women, that the younger women marry. Paul didn't say, I will that the younger women will go out and get a college education and get all of her 8 and 10 and 12 years of education behind her and then begin to think about perhaps looking for a mate, and then maybe 10 more years later, begin to think about having children. That's not what Paul said. Now, there's a place for some of that. Now, I didn't say all of it, but there is a place for some of it. Because I would like to think that if my daughters do not marry at in a certain age, are they going to live with us all their lives? I don't think so. Now, you know what? They can. But at some point, they do need to be able to take care of themselves. Do you think that this virtuous woman could have taken care of herself had she not been married? Absolutely. Because you see, she had this inside her. She had been instructed. She had been taught to be diligent in works, to not be lazy, to not be idle. And I don't think we've read those verses yet. She could have taken care of herself very well, I'm pretty sure. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. There's the keeper at home. There's the guide. There's the manager of the household. And give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So Paul says, here's the description of the widows. And we see in Proverbs 31, let's get a couple more verses very quickly. Proverbs 31, it says that, let's read again verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. She takes care of herself. She does. She sacrifices, but she does take care of herself. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. Well, which one is it there? King Lemuel, it says in verse 1. I don't know that Solomon actually wrote these. I don't. It says in verse 22 that her clothing is silk and purple. But verse 25 says strength and honor are her clothing. Well, it's a matter of emphasis. And you remember what Peter said about the woman whose adorning is not the braided hair and the clothing and the jewels and all of those things. That's not what God considers to be valuable. There's a place for the virtuous woman to be clothed in silk and purple. strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. And it says, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. You see, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Last two verses. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The widow that Paul says the church is to be concerned about, especially, is the one who not only is desolate, obviously is in need, because she is a widow indeed, but she's a widow that trusts in God and who prays and offers supplications unto the Lord day and night. She has been living a life diligently involved in good works, whether it's bringing up children or lodging strangers, being hospitable, sacrificing herself in order to provide for the comfort and care of others. If she had washed the saints' feet, she's ministered to those within the body. She's relieved the afflicted. She's been diligent in all these good works. So Paul says, so I would, young women, that you would marry, that you would bear children, that you would guide the house. Thank God for virtuous women, and virtuous women especially, who are teaching the younger women these characteristics, these traits, teaching them the responsibilities that they will soon have.